This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, February 3, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A community benefit concert will support West Michigan families impacted by immigration enforcement. WGVU's Dee Morrison shares more about the Melt Ice concert.
So it's kind of a double meaning. We are getting together with some really hot bands to make some great sounds.
Dan Terpstra is the event manager for the Melt the Ice concert.
But we're also addressing the families and the community members affected by ICE, the immigration services.
The concert benefits CECOM Community Resource Center, Movimiento Cosecha GR, and Kent County and Flat River Indivisible. Terpstra says it's also a celebration of solidarity and community.
On one hand, people think that 2025 is a train wreck, and I tend to agree with that. There's a lot of terrible things that have happened. But in such a divisive time, somehow lots of people have come together. All of this insanity has actually brought more people together.
The 2 p.m. concert is on Sunday, February 15th at Grand Rapids Fountain Street Church. It features four bands, the Bootstrap Boys, Cabildo, Epsia, and Jeff Schroeder and Friends.
Go to an event that has good music, good food, good people. We can hopefully laugh a little bit, but still do the important work of helping the people helping the people.
Tickets are $25, and the event is open to the public. I'm Dee Morrison.
New housing is coming to Grand Rapids' northeast side. The city's Brownfield Authority approved $2 million in incentives to help fund a brand new 38-unit townhome rental project. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
In May, ground will be broken on Knapp Hills Townhomes, a two- and three-bedroom townhome rental project in the Creston neighborhood along the 2000 block of Dean Lake Avenue Northeast. The city's Brownfield Redevelopment Authority unanimously backed a 17-year Brownfield tax increment financing plan for almost $2.1 million for the project. President of Wheeler Development Group, Ryan Wheeler, said Knapp Hills is similar to Michigan Meadows, another project the developer completed in 2020.
It's got one of our highest retention rates, so this isn't just creating apartments for apartments. These are homes, two and three bedrooms. Over 60-65% last year of the people stayed in their homes. So really creating an environment where people that choose to rent can raise a family within the city of Grand Rapids, supporting the school.
Knapp Hills will feature 8 4-unit buildings and 1 6-unit building, with a total of 20 two-bedroom units and 18 three-bedroom units, with 8 units reserved for households earning 100% of area median income or less. Construction is expected to be completed in early 2027. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Haven will start removing the snow from city sidewalks again. At last night's city council meeting, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they found money in their budget to cover the cost.
We really want people to be safe and be out of the streets.
And Mayor Bob Benetza and the Grand Haven City Council are authorizing $35,000 to pay for sidewalk snow removal this winter, reversing the decision to cut it from the budget 2 years ago.
Discontinuing the sidewalk plowing a couple years ago was not the best call, but at the time that seemed like the thing we needed to do, and now we're going to correct that.
Councilmember Mike Dora says removing the snow will get pedestrians out of the street and back up onto the sidewalks.
Hopefully get those opened up so some people can start using them instead of the roadways. Every day I'm driving and there's more and more people walking in the street.
It's not strictly enforced, but the mayor says a city ordinance does require owners to clear the snow on their sidewalks.
The ordinance does state the primary responsibility is on the property owners to clear sidewalks in front of their property.
When it snows, Councilmember Aaron Lyon says citizens should not wait for the city.
City might not be able to get to every sidewalk every day. It is still the responsibility of the renter, the owner, the person living in the house to take care of their sidewalks.
I'm Phil Dawson.
An empty historic house in Laketown Township's Wolters Woods Park is getting a new life as an education hub for Holland Christian Schools. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
The Laketown Township Building Authority approved the sale of the Wolters House and 1.7 acres of land to Holland Christian Schools for $410,000 late last month. The property was originally the home of Reverend Lloyd Walters, whose family was instrumental in establishing the park in 1992. Surviving family members gave their blessing to the sale, noting that the Walters family had deep ties to Holland Christian Schools dating back to 1920. The schools previously leased the home as a learning lab and will now pay for needed renovations to turn it into an outdoor learning hub. After paying off the mortgage and other expenses, the township will have about $160,000 that will go into the general fund. As part of the deal, the township split the original 2.5-acre plot, retaining 0.5 acre to merge back into Wolters Woods Park. The township retains the right of first refusal if the school ever decides to sell. I'm Dee Morrison.
Construction is wrapping up on Grand Rapids' new Martin Luther King Park Community Center. WGVU's David Limbaugh gives us a preview.
We're just at the tail end of the project right now, so working on a lot of the finishing touches.
Carrie Enriquez is Grand Rapids Parks Department Project Manager.
So getting the glass in, getting the flooring in, a lot of the TV screens and monitors and all of those kind of finish work that happens at the end.
Enriquez says the nearly $20 million Martin Luther King Park Community Center, in the works since 2019, will open to the public this month on the city's southeast side.
It's a long time, but it's also not a long time, considering how much community involvement was needed for this. It's just really exciting.
The nearly 25,000 square foot center replaces the decades-old lodge. It features a full gymnasium with basketball, volleyball, and pickleball courts, fitness rooms, and a new outdoor playground and pool house.
Also two community rooms that are here, so that's for after-school programming for teens, and then also for the community to rent for pool parties during the summer.
A community open house and ribbon cutting will be held at the center on Saturday, February 21st from 2 to 5 p.m. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at the impact of organ transplants in West Michigan, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's Attorney General is encouraging residents to know their rights when dealing with immigration enforcement. Colin Jackson has more.
News outlets have reported cases in Minnesota of federal agents detaining U.S. citizens, requiring them to undergo facial recognition scans, and monitoring bystander crowds. Reports have also suggested Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are using administrative warrants not signed by a judge to enter homes. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says people need to know they can legally do things like observe and record immigration officers as long as they don't get in the way.
These federal agents, they're not allowed to just take your phone from you. And if that happens, you should do everything you possibly can to memorialize who this individual is and any information about them.
Federal officials have defended agents' tactics as necessary to enforce immigration laws. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin recently voted no on a federal funding package that included money for the Department of Homeland Security. The U.S. Senate voted Friday to separate a DHS funding bill from five others after some Democrats wanted to attempt to place restrictions on immigrations and customs enforcement. Speaking to reporters in Detroit on Monday, Senator Slotkin says, "I should have the same standards of local law enforcement."
It's not radical, it's just asking for what the Michigan State Police and the Detroit Police already have to do. It's asking federal law enforcement, who have now, again, shown themselves to be abusing the people of Minneapolis and other places, have them live up to those same standards.
Slotkin says some demands include requiring ICE to obtain judicial warrants to enter a home, not wearing masks, and requiring independent investigations when a shooting occurs. A lawsuit alleging the state for years covered up lead contamination of drinking water in Benton Harbor can be processed. The Michigan Court of Appeals has denied the state's request to have the case dismissed on the grounds the plaintiffs waited too long to file their lawsuit. Mark Chalos is an attorney for the Benton Harbor residents suing the state. He says state agencies alerted residents to the problem, but also said they were fixing it. Chalos says the state never shared that the solutions weren't working while the contamination continued. He says it took years for the state to advise residents to use bottled water.
Every Michigander has a constitutional right to bodily integrity. They have a constitutional right not to be exposed to toxins like lead in their municipal water system and then be lied to about it.
Jallo says the Benton Harbor lead contamination is worse than levels found in Flint's water during the water crisis. The state can appeal the decisions to the Michigan Supreme Court. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. A West Michigan couple who met through organ transplant programs has a new life together, turning their challenges into a mission supporting others. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with the husband, Tracy Gray, about their story.
May 5th, 2018, I had a heart transplant. I was on the list for 3 years, and during that time, I had what they call an LVAD, left ventricular assist device. I had three of those implanted in my heart. It takes the place of your heart pumping. It pumps the blood for you. The last year, I was at the top of the list in the state of Michigan for my blood type and body size.
You were able to get a heart transplant at Corewell Health?
Correct.
Obviously life-saving, but life-changing as well.
Yeah. After I had my transplants, I asked my girlfriend, then my wife now, to marry me. So we got married. I got to witness 4 grandchildren being born. It's a wonderful, you can't really talk about it that much. I mean, it's so meaningful and deep that you can't explain it. You just have to, it's something you have to experience, and hopefully nobody has to experience it, but it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's the difference between seeing a future for yourself and not having a future for yourself. Yeah,
it's not even just for yourself, it's for your loved ones.
And then you and your wife started the Transplant House. Tell me a little bit about what that is.
Yes, it's the Transplant House of West Michigan. It's located at the corner of Leonard and Fuller, 2 miles from the hospital, 5 minutes. It's really easy to get to. My wife had her transplant in the Cleveland Clinic, and they're from Gaylord. So they had to travel from Gaylord to Cleveland Clinic 20 years ago, and they didn't have a place to stay. They had to stay at hotels. When I had my transplant, my family came from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was in the hospital a total of maybe five and a half months throughout all my LVADs and transplants. So they had to stay at hotels also. After I asked the wife to marry me, we were sitting there talking, and she said, you know, something about starting a transplant house. And started looking around, created our nonprofit, and we found the house. And it's wonderful. It's nice to know that our dream is actually helping people out like we thought it would. Last year, we had a total of 57 people stay, different stays. We've saved people $260,000 last year. We've got people from far away. We actually have an international patient right now who came in July 5th. And they had their double lung transplant October 17th. We got somebody there from West Virginia who's been there since March. And this is his second transplant. He had a double lung heart transplant 7 years ago when he was 15 years old. And his lungs were failing, going through rejection. And Corwell is the only hospital that would accept him. So he came up March 15th and got his transplant on Mother's Day. Everybody there is living their second, third chance at life, and they don't take every breath for granted like everybody else does. So, you know, I mean, it's rewarding. It is.
It's a long-term expense for the families.
Yeah, it's a financial burden. It is. You know, we have a mortgage on the house yet, so we have to charge, but we only charge $60 a night. The house is set up to where it's got 2 full kitchens, 4 bedrooms, and 2 community areas. So it's very homey. Everybody who stayed there has loved it. They like the vibe because it's not just a place to stay. It's more of a support group because everybody there is going through the exact same thing.
You're with others who are actually experiencing the same kind of things with their family that you are.
Exactly. So they all know what they're talking about. And they understand how each other feels. They help each other. They'll drive each other around if they're going somewhere. It's wonderful. We got the lady from West Virginia, their son. Every morning there's a guy that comes in now. His wife just had a transplant. He comes in every weekend because he has to work still, because, like I said, the financial burden. So he comes in every weekend. And when he's going to the hospital, the lady from West Virginia makes him a sausage biscuit sandwich, 2 of them actually, and gives them to him on the way to the hospital so he's got something to eat every morning.
I've been talking with Corwell Health this week about their new registration through their health website. What do you think people need to know about registering for organ donation?
Overall, in the United States, there's 120,000 people on the waiting list for transplants for organs, and almost 2,800 of them are here in Michigan alone. It's a gift that you can give that you no longer need, that is going to let people see their grandchildren. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a selfless gift that everybody just needs to sign up to be an organ donor. It's the most precious gift you can give.
Can change generations.
Oh, yeah. And I got my transplant. I got to see my grandchildren, marry my wife. And the best part of it all, I mean, it's all wonderful, but starting a transplant house is just, it's the helping out of others, and the people that we've helped out, they may go on and do something better, more. I mean, it's just never ending.
It's a nonprofit. Is there a way for people to contribute if they'd like to?
Yes, they can go to our website. It's www.mitransplanthouse.org. Anybody's out there, every time you go to the Secretary of State, click yes, you want to be an organ donor. Or if you're on your My Chart, click it there.
Thank you so much.
This is Michelle Reiser. I'm a Director of Applications and Platforms at Corwell Health.
You and I are speaking today about a new MyChart donor registration tool. Tell me a little bit about how it works.
Yeah, we are very excited to have launched this back in October of 2025. This allows patients to log into their CorWell Health MyChart and register for the National Organ Donor Registry. So many folks might already be registered through the Secretary of State in Michigan. Doing this through MyChart offers a simple way to get on that national registry with just a few clicks.
And keeping it simple has given great benefits to the program, I understand. Registration is up.
Absolutely. We are so humbled and we are feeling incredibly grateful for the generosity of our communities. In the first 3 months since launching this, there have been more than 2,300 people who have signed up to be an organ donor through MyChart. And so now that we're spreading the news, sharing more broadly, we're excited to see how many more folks register.
Why is the organ donor program so vital?
So in Michigan, there are nearly 2,700 people that are actively waiting for an organ transplant. And when we look nationwide, that's more than 100,000 people. So by becoming an organ donor, you can save many lives through your organs and tissues. And it's just such a generous thing we can do to help save lives in our communities.
For people who would like to register or think, I'm not sure, maybe I'm already registered, what's the best advice?
I would go in through your MyChart account, go to the Health Summary tab, click on the organ registration link. You can submit your information and it will take you to the Gift of Life website. And there you can modify and check in on your registration at the national level. Again, if you're already registered in Michigan, that's incredible. Registering this way ensures that if you are out of state, leave the state or move, you'll be covered anywhere you go in the United States.
And there are some options for patients on how their donation would be used.
When people register, they can choose to become a donor for transplant or research and education or both of them. So you really have control over how you would like to be a donor.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, February 3, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.